Anyway, I want to share with you something important that we want to get back into the chapter of love. The more I meditate on this, the more I want to become like Christ. You know, it's more than understand about the doctrine. It's more than be faithful in our time and money. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is about love. You know, if you can give anything you can, even give everything you have, if you don't have love, it's nothing. Even though we are so much wisdom that we have, so much knowledge we have no love. According to God, it's nothing. So we want to go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the text that we're going to look at here. Four things in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. We just look at bears all things this morning. What do you mean when Paul trying to say that we come to Christ, we need to bear all things? Now, somehow we not get the full meaning of this bear all things. But the really meaning is pardon all things. That means if anyone do wrong to us, we should pardon. And so that's the meaning of this very text that we're going to look at this morning. Now, let me ask you, does anyone mistreat you or say something make you feel hurt? Anyone? No? I haven't. Someone make mistakes. Someone have hurt you. Someone has said something. You know, and we keep it inside. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to share it with someone because we don't want to gossip. But at the same time, it's so much burden in our heart that we cannot let it go. Now, the Bible says very clearly, if you look at the Psalm 108, 106, I mean, joys in forgiveness. There's a joy in forgiveness. Do you have a hard time to forgive someone? Especially someone make the same mistake and come to you again and again and again. Do you have a hard time, or is it only me? Well, the Bible say we need to pardon, we need to bear something, we can let it go, we forgive them. So this morning we want to look at the character of God. How did He able to bear us all things? Look with me in the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Now, Exodus chapter 4, 34, that's where pretty much end of the journey that Moses took the Israelite out of the bondage in Egypt. But he have seen the people very beginning who cried out before God for 400 years and God rescued them, and they continue sins before God. You cried out to God, God rescued you, and now you live in the wilderness. Even though you walk for 40 years, your clothes are not tear out and your shoes are not wear out. I mean, what more can you ask? And free food fall from heaven. And here people still complain. So I wish that I can go back to Egypt. I'd rather be slave and eat meat than free and give abundant nutrients of food that God has given us. And so Moses witnessed all that, and sometimes Moses so upset with these people. Day in and day out, here complaining and complaining. And here it is. Exodus chapter 34, verse 8. Exodus chapter 34, verse 8, I'm reading from New King James Version. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped God. I know, now he really understands that God really upset about these people. And there's a time that God said, you know, Moses, you stand aside. I'm going to wipe these people out. I only save you. You will be my future generation. And here Moses stand away. If you kill them, look at what other country around would say. You bring them in the wilderness and you kill them? I mean, here, can you believe it? Moses tried to debate with God. But you can sense that Moses really have a heart to love the people who hate him. And here he intercedes for the Israelites here. Verse 9. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, God, if you find any good thing in me, if I do anything, one thing's good, can you even, I ask you for a favor. Oh Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon. That's a word that I'm looking for. Pardon our iniquity and our sins and take us as your inheritance. I know you, God, you don't want these people, but could you pardon them and take them as your inheritance? Now, never undermine intercessory prayer. Now, did God save the Israelite? Yes, he can wipe the whole Israelite, more than a million people, out of the earth instantly, but Moses will intercede for the people. So now we see very clearly that God do anything to pardon his people, forgive their sins. So now you see how the loving God is. Go with me another book here, in Book of Numbers. Likely we don't usually read the word Numbers. It's sometimes very boring book, but this is a good text here. Number 14, verse 19 and 20. Numbers chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. Pardon the iniquity of this people. I pray according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgotten this people from Egypt even until now. God, thousands of times you forgive them from the day they left Egypt until now. Wouldn't you forgive them one more time? I mean, can you see how Moses is pleading for his people? I mean, how many times are you pleading for your family and for your church? God, please save them. Help them. Forgive their sins. And that's exactly what Moses did. Verse 20. And then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your what? Your word. You see, intercessory prayer. How many times the parent pray for their children to come back? I know sometimes it takes a long time, but God hear all those prayers. Your prayer will not go in vain. God is a God of love. And I see how that if you keep that hurt and anger in your heart. Jesus, when you have free from this world and anger, if anyone make you upset, God say, let it go. It's not worth to hold on. Now I'm sure in your workplace, it is in family or even in church, someone make you feel hurt. Either intentionally or unintentionally. But that's not the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 say, bear all things, pardon all things. Now see, this doesn't say pardon for those who intentionally, but who someone intentional hurt you, you don't pardon. Is that what the Bible says? No. Now let me ask you, did God know that you will make a mistake again? Yes. But why did God forgive you? You see, it's not a conditional that you will make mistake again. It's the point is, you pardon whatever it is happened now. Now this teaches me a great lesson that I have to learn every day. To pardon. Let us go. Don't keep grudges in your heart. Don't hold something that you should envy, upset. I mean, all that's happened inside you is going to hurt you more than anyone else. I mean, you go home and you cannot even sleep at night. You even have a dream about it. And here's hurting yourself is not hurting someone else. Probably other person don't even know anything about it. So God say, let it go. You know, don't hold in your heart. And one thing is good for me to think about is when you're able to pardon other people's sin is this. Just ask yourself, maybe that person wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Maybe he got screamed at in the morning before he go to work. So when he came into work, he probably yelled at you. Maybe that person, something happened in her health. That's why she upset. You see, when we start to put it in that perspective, you start to forgive people. You can forgive people. And so God asks us to pardon all things, everything. And so if you look in this Psalm chapter 106, you can give a chance to read it as your pleasure here. The whole chapter talking about joys of forgiveness of Israel's sins. Now, whereas David go around the whole chapter, he reminded people, Lord, our father in Egypt, verse 7, our father in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercy, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. See, David remind people that our forefather did that, and God still forgive us. And he go into the Red Sea, he say, well, we ignore your commanding, and as we you help us escape. Verse 28 here. Even though we, and when they say they, join themselves also to Baal and Peor, this idol, and ate sacrifice made to the dead. Thus they provoke him to anger with their deed. And the plague broke out among them. Verse 35, but they mingle with the Gentile and learn their work and serve their idol, which became snare to them. In other words, David keeps sharing, God, look at all your people, but you still loving them. How do I know that? Go down verse 47. Save us, O Lord, O God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name and the triumph in your praise. No, when you read all this and you see the character of God, he willing to pardon anything. Anything. I mean, the people of God, not only the Israel, even today, when God rescues us and we still complain, maybe we don't have enough. Why couldn't I have more? And God's promise only, he just gives us enough for every day. He tests us. And why this denomination, that denomination, they're growing and we are not growing? We start to complain, we look at ourselves and all that, you know. God said, you look how I have rescued you. I speak in terms of the Vietnamese people. They came to the United States, they got everything. When they left in Vietnam, even the elderly, they left in Vietnam maybe 70 years old. And coming to this country, suddenly they have Medi-Cal, suddenly they have food stamp and all the health benefits, social service, all that. They don't get that in Vietnam. And when economies go so bad that they cut down $10 of their social security service, they start complaining, why this nation do this to me? See, God has been so good to us, and we still complain. Still complain. But there's people who pleading, say, your mercy will show us. And so that's the joy of forgiveness. So make sure if you feel anything when someone makes you feel hurt or angry, God say, pardon. Pardon the sin. Forgive. Now remember, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about you and I. How could we have that character of love? It's not talking about someone else. It's not talking about God's character. It's God talking about me here. I need to learn how to pardon. And it would benefit for me to pardon because I feel joy. I feel peace. The second thing I want to share with you is a very important text here, found in the book of Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and verse 26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, that means if you pray now, if you have anything against anyone, ask God to forgive. Forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. Ask God to forgive that person. He or she, your co-worker, your neighbor, your family, even in your members. But if you do not, verse 26, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass. Wow, that's strong, right? Now, if we decided not to forgive the person because that person did wrong to us so many times, Lord, I cannot understand. How can I continue to forgive that person? The Bible says it doesn't say how many times you forgive him. It says you forgive all the time. There's no limit of forgiveness. There's no limit on pardoning other people's sins. But if we don't pardon others, God will not pardon our sins. Oh, that's strong. When I take that in the heart, I said, Lord, forgive me. Wow. You mean if I don't forgive that person who makes me so upset every day, does it mean you not forgive me? Does it mean I cannot enter in heaven? God said, yeah. That's what happened. God wants us to forgive others. God wants us to pardon other people. Whatever wrong that person might do to you. So that's a very important text that helped me a lot. Now, how can we learn to pardon? Look into the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. You know, before I know God, it's really hard to forgive. I mean, how can you forgive someone who steals your things? How can you forgive someone when someone, for that person, gossip about you? But how? Now, I'm telling you, it hurt. But you know what? When you become a Christian, something is different. Something changed inside. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 say, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That means we have sins with God, and he have redeemed us by what? His blood. Now, would I give my life to save someone? Probably not. But Jesus gave his life to save me. I mean, you understand how big the pardon of sins that Jesus really sacrificed for us? Let's turn another text and I want to share with you more about. Colossians chapter 1, 13 and 14. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 13 and 14 say, he has delivered us, that means Jesus, from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has translated us. We no longer live in darkness. We no longer live in the world. We are changed. We live in the presence of God. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, when someone says, you know, it's impossible for pardon to someone else who do a wrong thing, God says it's not impossible. Now, when God say 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can pardon everything. Either the person intentional or unintentional, or that person really mean to you or gossip about you, God says just pardon. Let us go. Pray for that person. Now, if God instructs us to do that, do you think he gives us the power to do it? Yes. Now, I don't know. Some people say, you know what, this is impossible for a human being to do it. It's not impossible. You just read here. We are translated from darkness into light. We are no longer live, but Christ live in me. Now, the character of Christ is pardon all sin. Now, if Christ live in me, I can pardon all sin. Am I right? When we find it's hard, it's because Christ not fully living in us. Now, Ellen G. White said, meditate on his life, on Jesus' life and his death, and you will overcome. Overcome. And so anything's happened to me. I remember one time, I don't know if I shared with you the story before, that first time I entered ministry, and I want to share the word of God to the Vietnamese people because a lot of them don't know about God. Well, I live in Barron Spring, Michigan when I go to school there. I travel down to South Bend, Indiana, probably 45 minutes. And there's a small community of Vietnamese, around 100 people. Well, most of them are Catholic. Well, I start to witness and share with them what I believe. Well, there's a guy who really, really don't like any Christian church besides Catholic. And he was mocking me. He said, why you do this? You tell me I do not drink. And he said, if you don't tell me to drink, I'm going to drink in front of you. And smoke, he can smoke in front of me. He's drinking coffee. He do anything. He swear, he curse, everything. And I want to help him so much. Anyway, I went home. I started crying before God. God, I don't think ministry is for me. I cannot stand this. I cannot go out and witness, give my heart out, give people a gift, and someone mock on me. And when I kneel down the bedside, somehow I can see the vivid cross before me. And Jesus spoke to me. If they mock me, Jesus said, if they mock me, they will mock at you. If they persecute me, they will persecute you. And so when that, I hear that saying, I just say, Lord, help me for my unbelief. Help me to overcome. The next day I go and visit him again and again and again. Finally, he believed that I really care for him. You see, when we let Jesus live in our life, we can do anything. We can learn to forgive, even though we can forgive our enemy. Now, any time that you cannot forgive your enemy, any type of enemy, either in school, or in workplace, maybe even at home, or even at church. Remember this. Jesus on the cross, and the last breath you're going to take, he'd say this. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't know. Forgive them. They nailed Jesus Christ on the cross. Forgive them. Now, if they have not nailed you on the cross yet, then that you haven't tested hard enough. If they have not whipped you until you have 40s, like Paul, it's nothing yet. Forgive them. Forgive them. One place in the great controversy, I don't remember exactly, when they persecute the Christian people. And any family doesn't go to church, the Catholic church, what I mean, they were persecuted. If they stay at home and pray, they got persecuted. Just like small group, you know, you stay at home, you pray, you got persecuted. Anyway, they dragged this family out, and that's how they used that back then. They would nail you at the stake and burn you alive. So the whole village can see it. No one can worship in secret place. And they dragged this family out, and they asked him, what do you do in that secret place of prayer? The little kids say, well, we pray for the nation. We pray for the church. We pray for the leaders. We pray for these army. We pray for people who persecute the Christians. And the soldier was shocked. You actually pray for me? And so they spared that little kid alive, but they burned his parents. I can see the Christian who truly Christian love God, that we're willing to bear all things. We're willing to pardon everything, even their sin. Even the wicked world might do anything to us. We bear it. We pardon. God forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. When you say that to the Lord, say, Lord, I will forgive. Don't ever bring it back. See, I remember sometimes I hear husband and wife argue. When they argue so loud, they argue just only one thing. It just happened today. It just happened at that particular point. And they argue. And suddenly they bring everything in the past. Out in the open place. And start to shoot each other. You know, you did this and that. You did that and that. But I said, I thought you said you forgive me back then. No. With you right now, I'm not going to forgive you. But God is different. Read with me in the book of Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. That's a small little book just behind Obadiah. And in front of Habakkuk. Nahum. Okay, Micah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. You find it? Who is a God like you? Pardon iniquity. I mean, God, you pardon all the iniquity. And passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Okay, sometimes we are remnant church, but he will forgive us whatever we did. He does not retain his anger forever. That teaches a lesson. We should not retain our anger forever. By the time we go to sleep at night, we forgive everyone. He does not retain his anger forever. Because he delight in mercy. Verse 19, very good here. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquity. Right? This means you see iniquity, your sin you have. He subdued it. He didn't want to take a look at it. You will cast all your sin into the depth of the sea. Your sin and my sin, he will cast in the depth of the sea. That means no longer remember. Now, when you see husband and wife arguing, they start remember everything. God said, no. You, when you bury that sin, you will never bring it back up again. Now, how deep is the depth of the sea? I think, Casey, you went scuba diving? How deep? How deep is the depth of the sea? Do you ever go all the way down there? No. I mean, so far, so long, you probably lost your sin, probably lost in the depth of the sea. Do not bring it up. That same thing God teaching us. When we forgive someone, pardon their sin, you don't remember. Don't bring it back up. It will cause more problems. And so the message this morning that Paul tried to teach us is bears all things or pardon all things. Everything. I don't care how big or small or worse. God said, pardon all things. That's what the character of God needs to be exercised in our heart. In our heart. Because God wants us to reflect his character. They will know you are my disciple if you love one another. Right? If you show that love exactly 1 Corinthians chapter 13, they will know you. You are representative for me on this earth. I pray that we continue read again and again to memorize the chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The more we read, the more we meditate on it, we will be whole. We will change. We'll be Christ-like. That's what I would like all of us to taste. It is good. The people who are persecuted and they still love, I want to have that. They still love other people. Whatever happened, they still exercise that love because it's so sweet. And I want to taste that. May God bless you all.